It's Morning Edition. Good morning. I'm George Prentice. As we continue to navigate the 2024 political landscape, we understand that a fair and democratic election is the ultimate goal. But how we get there, well, that's a choice, not just a choice of whether to engage, but how we engage. Dr. Sam Martin is here, political scholar, author, and Frank and Bethany Church Chair of Public Service at Boise State. Dr. Martin, welcome back to the program.
Hi, George. Thanks. It's great to be here.
We are coming out of the 2024 session of the state legislature, and I think it's fair to say that more than a few people say they feel a bit, well, bruised. But I've been wondering about that proverbial pendulum and if it can only swing so far in either direction, so far to the left or right, before it ultimately has to start edging back, and maybe not right away, and maybe not even within a year. But is that fair to say, or are we throwing all logic out the window?
Yeah, I mean, you're referring to, I think, what we call the law of the pendulum, which, you know, in physics is everything that causes a reaction causes an equal and opposite reaction, right? And in politics, the same thing, culture, the same thing. I think that that does happen a lot. And if we think back on our history, it happens in some pretty surprising ways. I'm teaching a class this semester on great speeches in American history. And so, of course, we looked at Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. Absolutely. And as I was studying with my students, I went in and just looked at his life and was surprised myself to learn that by 1964, most white New Yorkers thought that King had gone too far, right? And by 1965, 85% thought communists were behind the civil rights movement. And by 1966, only 36% of white Americans believed that Dr. King was helping the cause for civil rights. And this is a person that now we have a national holiday named after, and we consider him sort of an honorary founding father, right? So imagine how far the pendulum was on Dr. King, and then how far it's come now. At the same time, we also would think in my field, or I would mention like the Overton window, which is also worth imagining, because when we have these moments, the Overton window, of course, is the idea that there is a sort of space or a window that we look through in our culture and in our politics of acceptable views. And on either side of that are things that are deviant ideas. They're things that people don't believe. But each time the pendulum swings too far in one direction or the other, the idea is that window moves. Right. And so previously held ideas that were out of tolerance for the public become intolerance. And sometimes this, one could argue, is good. Right. We can't imagine 50, 60 years ago, the NFL celebrating people's right to be gay or to be in same gender relationships, say. But sometimes it's not so good, because we could also argue that for a while, the Overton window had delegitimized things like taking books out of libraries. Right. And now the Overton window has gone back to let that happen.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about Scott Yainer, Boise State professor. And I realize that this is touchy business, but he is a provocateur. He has said that universities should stop making efforts to recruit women into science fields. Recently, he held an event on campus. This event he called Compulsory Feminism. It gets more than a few people's blood to boil. But I guess here's my question. Where does our appropriate protection of free speech get in the way of, this is a bit like shouting fire in a crowded theater.
Yeah, you're right, George, that Dr. Yainer has said some controversial things and does controversial research. And, you know, this is, we should remember, speaking of pendulums, that people have done controversial research about things that we're now very grateful for. It took a lot of courage to, for example, study the AIDS epidemic in the 1980s. That is the reason behind the idea that, you know, he's allowed to promote research and do research that many people really simply disagree with or find not to have a lot of validity. That said, he's a very popular teacher, and students who take his classes actually find him to be a person who leads interesting discussions. And so on campus, and he happens to be a colleague of mine, he's actually a kind of a complicated person. But when I think of him, I actually think what's happening in this case is an example of the pendulum swinging pretty far on the left. And what I mean by that is that people on the left have become very concerned about the critique of political correctness and the idea that the left has sort of censored things beyond the realm of being said. And of course, this is a critique that gets levied at them by folks on the right who think that their ideas have, as I was just talking about with the Overton window, been delegitimized. But the thing is, discrimination laws and feminism and the things that the civil rights movement and the Civil Rights Act, the courts are talking about conduct. So they're talking about the ways that we act and treat people, about what government, how government can and cannot treat people, and how businesses that do business with government can and cannot treat people. And that gets mistaken for the idea that it's now sort of been criminalized to be an anti-feminist, or it's been criminalized to be a racist, or it's been criminalized to be against LGBTQ rights. This is false. Right. It is totally you. Everyone is free to hold any of those positions. The thing we need to remember is the conduct that often comes with those positions, the conduct a lot of people find odious. And so that means that if a person is a racist, for example, or a person in my case, I'm a woman, is an anti-feminist, that means I don't have to be their friend. I don't have to believe in the words that they say. I don't have to want them to be around my children. I don't have to want them to influence society. And it's my right in the First Amendment to push back and to show the evidence that I have that says that they're wrong.
Is it enough to simply not want to be someone's friend or advocate to truly address that issue?
Well, it depends on exactly the issue that you mean. So when I look at public universities, and I'm not just talking about Boise State, I'm talking about across, you know, the nation. I was at Southern Methodist University, which was a private school in Dallas before I was here, and it had similar questions be raised. And once you open a public space to a speaker, whether that speaker is from the Girl Scouts or the American Red Cross, the court has said you have to open that, you have to open that space in reasonable ways to everyone, even if we're talking about the KKK. There was a famous incident in Skokie, Illinois, which was a place where many refugees from the Holocaust had settled, and it had a large Jewish population, and a white supremacist organization wanted to have a parade, and the city planners denied the permit. And ultimately, it didn't get all the way to Supreme Court. The Supreme Court denied to hear the case and just affirmed the appellate court ruling that said, you can't do that. Right? That the answer is always more speech. The answer is always to push back. So is it enough to refuse to be friends? Is it enough? What's enough? When we affirm a person's right to speak out and say things that we would spend our whole lives shouting against, right? That's free speech. You're going to say something and argue for something that I find so odious, I'm going to spend my life arguing against it. So that means that refusing relationships is just one option. Yeah. And not everyone is going to devote their lives to political engagement. But we all devote our lives to being in community. And we all get to determine the kinds of communities that we want to live in. And we all get to say who's valuable, what's valuable, and what we're going to champion. And many people believe that that includes a value that everybody counts. However, I'll just close by saying, George, that I always remind people, the thing about being a human is that no human can forfeit their dignity. Doesn't matter if they have odious beliefs. Doesn't matter if they're Martin Luther King. You never stop being a human. Nobody can forfeit their dignity. And when we disagree with people, but we remember that, we stand a better chance of creating the more perfect union we're all interested in.
Dr. Sam Martin, political scholar, author, and Frank and Bethany Church Chair of Public Service at Boise State. And it is a great reminder this morning and every day that it usually comes down to data, research, and truth. And for that, Dr. Martin, thank you so very much. And thanks for giving me some time this morning.
I appreciate your work so much, George.